This week on Buffy the Gilmore Slayer.
What are you doing jumping in the garbage?
Buffy the Gilmore Slayer. Hello, and welcome to Buffy the Gilmore Slayer.
I'm Brian Morris.
I'm Stacey Kulo.
We're comedians.
And a couple.
And I just watched Gilmore Girls, one of Stacey's favorite shows, for the very first time.
And I just watched Buffy the Vampire Slayer, one of Brian's favorite shows, for the very first time.
We watched both shows together, all 7 seasons, comparing them as we went.
And now we're all at a show. So we are watching and comparing 2 other shows from the creator of those 2 shows, Amy Sherman Palladino's Bunheads.
And Joss Whedon's Firefly.
This week, we're discussing episode 5 of both of those shows, starting with Bunheads, Money for Nothing.
As well as Chicks for Free.
What?
Sorry. As well as Firefly's Safe. Did you not get my joke?
I didn't.
It's a famous song. Money for Nothing and the Chicks for Free.
Oh. Did you guys get it? Well, who sings it?
Dire Straits.
Are they country?
No.
They sound country. Well, these episodes were both pretty good, I thought.
Yeah, I think both of these shows were good. Bunheads is finally starting to hit its stride.
Yeah.
I still like... I'm having issues with all the characters in Bunheads, though. They're too much, some of them.
Some well, are too Fanny. Much. Fanny's a lot, but it was a very funny episode.
It was.
Great cold open. We'll get into it. First of all, quick announcement. If any of you happen to be in or around Madison, Wisconsin, March 22nd or 23rd.
If you guys are free, you should check us out. We're performing improv at the Atlas Improv Theater. Now, we don't know exactly when we're going to be performing right now or what we'll be doing other than it'll be improv, it'll be comedy, and it'll be fun. And if you're in town, we'd love it if you came to visit us.
Yeah, it is the 20th anniversary of the improv group that Brian and I were a part of for a long, long time back when we lived in Wisconsin. And we are going back for it. There will be a couple shows featuring alumni, so we just don't know when yet, as of when this is being recorded. But once we know, we can let you know. So yeah, if you're in that area, let us know and we'll try to get you the exact show information.
We're very excited about that. Very excited to see some of our old comedy pals.
Yeah, a ton of people that we used to perform with are going back for it. And it'll be fun for us all to perform together again. It's cool that the company's still going. Like,
yeah.
It started in 2004. I think you started with them in 2005, right?
Uh-huh.
I started in 2008. It's awesome that this thing that was like so impactful in our young adult lives is like still going.
Yeah, this little comedy cult.
Yeah.
Still it's, going on.
Yeah.
It's not a cult. It's,
no, it's not.
It sounds like a cult when you have to say it's not a cult, but
well, we
it's
like
just
to
improv.
Tell ourselves it's not a cult.
No, we do worship a deity.
We did have to murder someone to leave, but it's not a cult.
It's not a cult, guys. You should see our robes though. They're awesome.
They won't make you try to join just by going to shows. If you try to join, they'll make you join the cult, but like it,
this is off the rails.
It's not a cult, but on paper, they have similarities. But we loved it, and it's not a cult.
We wanted these tattoos.
So yeah, come check it out if you're in the area. What else have we been up to, Brian? We've been watching a couple kind of weird shows.
Yeah, we've been watching 30 Coins, which is an HBO show.
HBO Europe. It's a Spanish show.
It's kind of a supernatural show. It's Buffy-esque in some ways. It's not... Buffy is very different than Buffy.
Oh, yeah. Very different.
Supernatural stuff's happening.
How many episodes have we seen? Maybe like 6? We keep pausing in the middle of them because they're long.
Yeah. I feel like if you want to give the show a chance, you should give it a few episodes because at first it's sort of just like, wait, what's going on? Is this just going to be Monster of the Week? And in a sense, it is Monster of the Week. But after you get a couple in, you're like, oh, okay, there's a plot that all kind of goes together.
Yeah.
It's not just, and then today there's a spider, and today there's a squid. You know, it's like, this is all connected.
It's about a small town in Spain where there's some mysterious stuff going on with a priest.
The most jacked priest you will ever see.
And the 2 hottest people in the entire world live in this tiny town for some reason.
Yeah. It's like, what are you doing in this town, guys? What are you doing? You're too hot for this town. No one in this town is near your level of hotness.
Like, the male and the female lead are just like, what? Go be in movies. You're clearly actors.
Yeah. Or like, let's hotten up some of the other people in the town so you don't stand out so much as the hottest models in this town. Everyone else looks like town appropriate for some backwoods town. These two people are just like shining gods, but they're not together. Okay, we'll see.
We also watched a movie called Monolith, which we were really excited to watch.
Mm-hmm. It's a COVID movie, meaning that like it feels like they filmed it during COVID when they were like,
sure.
We can't have people on set together. So it's,
there's like literally one person in it. Is there anyone else in it? Like on screen?
I don't think there's anyone else on screen. There's a lot of phone calls and stuff and voices, but I feel like the movie does a really good job of playing with the fact that you're not seeing any of these people.
Yeah. I mean, that's not really a spoiler. I feel like you can guess from the trailer that there's going to be no one else in it.
And like 10 minutes in, you're like, oh, I think there's not going to be other people in this movie.
It's about a podcaster who does a podcast about like the paranormal. But yeah, she's kind of got like people calling in and she's doing interviews and that's where the other characters come in. But I really liked it. But then it kind of just ends and it felt like we needed a whole other act of the movie.
Yeah.
I don't want to spoil it because I kind of almost do recommend it. But I was like, no, more movie, please.
It's interesting because it reminds me of Annihilation. Mm-hmm. In some senses, but that's all I can say.
Okay, well, should we get into these shows, Brian?
Let's do it.
This week, we started with Bunheads. Brian, could you give us a quick summary of Money for Nothing?
Yeah, in this episode, Fanny really wants her MTV, but she can't pay for it.
MTV?
That's very funny to me, guys. Stacey's never heard the song by Dire Straits. Sorry.
Wait, do they sing, I want my MTV?
Yeah, it's like part of the chorus. I want my MTV. This is a real song, guys. It sounds like I'm making it up. It's real.
That's in Money for Nothing?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I know that line.
This episode is about Fanny's financial problems and the show finally letting us know what the hell's going on with the dance studio and why Fanny can't pay for anything.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk about that cold open.
Great cold open.
This could have been a Gilmore Girls cold open. It doesn't really matter who the characters are.
No. It could have been Lorelai calling Luke, although Luke would have immediately come and help.
Yeah.
The episode opens with Michelle waking up in her bed, and at the foot of her bed is the cutest little possum.
It is so cozy. It's just like curled up like a cat or her feet.
And when I say cutest little possum, I just meant in terms of possums, it's the cutest. But if we're all being real, possums aren't the cutest animal.
No.
They're sort of like a gross wet rat kind of looking thing. Even when they're not wet, they look wet. Their hair is weird, man.
I did not care for its nose.
No, it's not doing anything wrong. I'm not bashing him. I'm sure it's very beautiful in his community. But it's sitting there, and it's just very cozy at her feet, snuggled up. So she is like kind of freaking out, doesn't know what to do. She calls Fanny, who couldn't care less about what's happening.
Yeah, Fanny's busy.
But the conversation between them is pretty funny. As Michelle's all like, there's something in my bed. And we get jokes about her, you know, sleeping with a stranger. And she's like, no, it's a nature thing. And then Fanny's like a tsunami? That's such a good line. Yeah, there's a tsunami in my bed. There's a small flood. There's an earthquake in my bed.
She sends Fanny a picture of it. And Fanny's like, yeah, that's not a rat. Because Michelle thinks it's a rat at first.
She's like, no, it's a possum, which is kind of like a rat.
it's like worse than a rat.
And then it like hisses at her, but
yeah,
it's all funny.
Fanny hangs up. She's like, yeah, I'll come save you. And then Michelle to the possum is like, she's not going to come save me. And she just starts hissing at her a ton. We never find out how it gets removed.
We don't know that it does. Maybe it's still there. It'll be there in the next episode.
So Michelle goes over to Fanny's house to try to like get food to shoo the possum away. But Fanny is there doing her biannual bill pay session with Truly, who just like works for her.
I don't know why Truly is here. I don't understand why Truly would be doing this for her.
Truly was helping her with, like, catering in the last episode. I think Truly... I mean, I get why Truly would have, like, wanted to help her when Hubble was alive.
Yeah.
She was, like, trying to get with Hubble, but she does kind of see her as a mother figure, I guess.
Yeah, it's a little confusing, though.
Truly also hates this.
Yeah, she hates it. She's, like, kind of being nice to Fanny about it, but clearly does not like this either. Thinks it's a bad idea. They're doing her, like you said, biannual bill paying, where she has a bunch of hat boxes where she puts bills into several categories. Those categories are has to be paid, should be paid, might get paid, and won't get paid.
Yeah, it's just like a box of random stuff that she doesn't know what it is the
right,
last thing.
You're right.
These are receipts we randomly have.
Essentially, she's like, we're going to pay all these. These people deserve to get paid, so I'm really going to try to pay them with whatever's left. And then if there's money left, we'll do the might get paid. And then, there's just a box of random stuff.
Before we dive too deep into this, there's a pretty funny joke. because Michelle's looking for food and Fanny's like, yeah, there's a thing in her bed. And Trulli's like, already? Like offended that she's already moved on from Hubble.
Right. There's also a line that is very confusing to me. I feel like it's just not a well-written line. Michelle is kind of over Fanny's like ridiculous payment system. And she's just like, every day with you is like being in a Kristen Wiig film festival. The hell does that mean? Now, I know you might think, oh, it's a festival that shows a bunch of Kristen Wiig films. But the thing is, at this point, Kristen Wiig hasn't done like a million films where she's like the main actor. I could think of like two.
Yeah, you said Bridesmaids had just come out maybe. But she's not even like that quirky in Bridesmaids. You know, she's just sort of like a normal jealous woman.
Yeah, exactly. Now, she was, let's just be clear. She's hilarious. She was so good at Saturday Night Live. Just like incredible. And she's an incredibly funny, very good actress. I've got no ill will to Kristen Wiig at all. I think she's incredibly talented. But this line like suggests that she's done like a slew of movies that she's been the lead of that are all quirky. And that's just not the case. Like Ghostbusters hadn't even come out at this point. She was like small parts in movies like MacGruber.
Yeah.
For a show that's like so pop culture heavy, it's kind of confusing. That's all.
Well, what we learn in the scene is that Fanny's accounting system is not great. She just kind of pays her bills twice a year. She calls it paying season. And she's definitely like not budgeting enough to pay all her bills. And it's very unorganized. And Michelle's like, this is dumb. We're going to fix this.
So she's like, I'm going to get you an accountant. And Fanny's like, no, I don't want that. Speaking of paying bills, Boo has gotten a job. She works at a clam shop. This is the same one that New Mitchum works at.
Yeah.
I know that's not his name. But
Rico's Oyster Hut or something like that.
Yeah, Rico, what a name. So she started to work there and she's just got the douchiest trainer.
God, this guy sucks.
Yeah, he's like, yeah, I'm like a manager now. And so you're below me and you have to do what I say. And he just like throws a towel at her and is like, watch these tables. I don't clean tables ever since I became like a manager. She's like, okay.
He says that the tables, I mean, they do have numbers, but they're also named after the colleges he wants to go to.
Yeah.
Like, in order of importance to him. He's also saying, like, what section she's going to have. And he's giving her, like, it's not a section. It's just, like, any table that sucks is yours. Like,
yeah, totally.
Kids that are sharing fries, that's for you.
People that look like they're going to tip, that's for me. It just, I hate this guy. But the big thing he does, the big bad thing he does is he's like, oh, and part of your job is you have to go to the garbage and you have to jump on top of the garbage in the dumpster so that it goes down far enough for the lid to close. And she does that while he like watches. And because of this, because it's a clam shop is not the right word, but it's a clammery. She smells like garbage forever after that. I would imagine a clammery's dumpster probably does smell putrid, but she smells for several days after doing this.
It's funny, the first time she jumps in it, the scene ends, the training scene ends with her jumping in the dumpster. And he's like, so you have a boyfriend? So it's unclear if like this actually needs to be done or if he's just hazing her. Because later we learn she doesn't have to do this or someone's like, stop doing that. But is it just like that the trash people aren't coming often enough? Or like, is he just fucking with her?
Yeah, it's hard to say. I don't know.
Because it was overflowing, but like, It's insane that a server would have to do that and then go back to work covered in trash.
Yeah. Yeah. Not to mention it would be like, if this were to happen, which it would not, because you could get so injured, like just the insurance on this, like they would just never have you do this. Get like a clam stuck in your foot.
Maybe if it was like the end of your shift, but you can't just go back to work covered in garbage.
Yeah. Maybe at the end of your shift, someone might do this, but, and even then they wouldn't. This is insane.
Yeah.
So he might be hazing her. Who knows? Meanwhile, as Michelle is heading back over to Fanny's, she runs into the pizza guy from Gilmore Girls.
Yeah, the guy that was helping Rory make the world's largest pizza is now Sal, the owner of the...
Sal's Dancy Pants. That's the, we had to rewind it to make sure we got that right. That's Sal's Dancy Pants.
It's like a dance supply store in town.
And can I just say that this guy is a gift to the show? I feel like immediately I liked this character a lot.
This was delightful.
He shows up and starts being like kind of aggressive. Then he like stops himself. And he's like, manners, Sal. And then like, it's like, I need to know what box I'm in. She never pays me. I don't want to be in the might box. I need to be in the needs to be paid box. Or I'm going to like take the shoes back from the girls.
He's going to come in and rip them off their feet.
Yeah. He's an aggressive guy. But then as she turns around, he's all like, whoa, 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 you're a dancer? I could tell from your tush. He's a tush reader. He could tell if you're a dancer by your tushy, which is your butt if you don't know. And also what kind of dancer you are by your tushy. Like if it's centered, you're a different type of dancer because you do different kind of moves. But he says to her that she's got like a multi-tush. She's done a lot of different dances. And he's like, you got to start dancing again. This butt's not going to last forever. Like, you got to get out there and dance.
He's like, what are you doing here? You're going to waste this tush.
It's funny because it's obviously very, like, inappropriate to be looking at and commenting on tushes. But the way he says it, still creepy, but it doesn't come across as, like, I want to touch your butt or, like, yeah. I'm into your butt. It seems very much like I'm a butt reader. This is what I do.
This is what I do. He asks her what she plans on doing with her tush if she's not dancing. She says, like, renting it out for events.
Yeah, very funny. And he's like, a tush is a terrible thing to waste. I love all
she
this dialogue.
Is pretty good at straight manning nonsense, I will say. Yeah.
And then the best line from the episode, in my opinion, is she walks into Fanny's and she says, Fanny, there's an ass man in your bushes who wants to know what box he's in. She comments on it. She's like, that's a crazy phrase. That's the dirtiest thing I've ever said. But she walks into like a cartoon because the house is just covered in flying receipts.
Yeah, truly left the window open because Fanny wouldn't let her turn the AC on while they were sorting through all these bills. And now they're just blowing around like Harry Potter's letters.
Yeah. Can I just say, like, I don't know how we're supposed to feel about Fanny's character, but she's too much. She's crazy selfish. Are we supposed to think she's crazy selfish? Because she is. She just poo-pooed, didn't care about Michelle's problems at all. Even though Michelle's gone out of her way to accommodate her. Like earlier when she's in the kitchen, she's like, what are you doing in my kitchen? I want to be like, girl, it's not your kitchen even. Shut the hell up.
Yeah.
And now that she's got this huge problem, she doesn't give a shit that like Truly's trying to deal with it. I'm like, Truly is like saving you and you're like being mean to her for opening a window. Again, and then later I think we're supposed to, I don't know, feel like Fanny's doing something positive. And I'm like, I don't know. You seem like a bad person.
I wonder if Fanny pays Truly.
Right. If she doesn't, then Fanny really sucks.
Truly does still have her business. But, yeah. Like, I don't know. She's doing a lot of work for her.
But, like, she's having a breakdown in this scene. She's, like, straight up just, like, on the ground. She's so fed up.
It's too many.
Stuffing receipts and papers into her bra.
Yeah, and Michelle's like, ugh, should I help her? She's like, stay, go home, stay, go home.
Meanwhile, all the girls go to the clam shack. That's what I'm calling it. Is it Rico's clam shack? I don't know. They go to Rico's.
It's called like the oyster hut, I
yeah,
think.
Yeah, you're right.
Her badge says ask about our clams, but I think oyster's yeah. in the title of the place. But
you're right.
They
it's,
have
an
it all.
It's an oystery. I'm sorry.
I like clamory.
So at the oystery, all the girls show up. Well, the three friends show up to visit Boo at work. They also in this scene, like, I know this is a show, but like they're really demanding a Boo in like really like not cool ways. They show up and immediately are like, hey, what can you sneak us? I get that like that is part of, you know, you got a friend working at a restaurant, but they're like very demanding about the food that they're supposed to get for free.
Yeah. I don't know. I feel like if you've worked at a place long enough, you could probably get away with that. But she's been there like a day. You can't just be giving people free fries.
Totally.
Wink winkers.
Wink winkers?
Yes, in Gilmore Girls.
Ah, yes.
Brian yes. and Zach want Lane to give them free fries, a.k.a. wink winkers.
You're absolutely right, and I'm sad that I missed that. We find out in this scene that Ginny has been with her boyfriend Josh since the second grade, and she thinks that they are soulmates. I give it another 2 years.
2 episodes.
Okay. Yeah, well, after this one. They're there to visit Boo, but they are also having a great time enjoying the view because I guess Rico's son has come back from his surfing travels.
I maybe missed a line, but I think some context later led us to believe this is Rico's son.
Well, he is just incredibly hot and he's just walking around the bar while he's bartending with no shirt on, which I guess honestly is not crazy for this place. If it is Rico's.
They don't seem too concerned with health code if their servers are just, you know, trash diving mid shift.
And their mom jeans, yeah.
Her mom jeans are like part of the uniform.
Right. They make a big, she makes a big deal about how she has to wear this, but like he's walking around in shorts and no shirt. He's lugging kegs around with no shirt on, and the girls are just like, oh my God, just drooling because he's so hot. Even Jenny's like, I'll sneak a peek.
Yeah. Jenny's like refusing to even look at first, but when she looks, she's like, that's a God. Don't tell Josh I saw God.
Yeah. More on that later. Michelle drags Fanny to an accountant, and guys, I'm being so negative, but in this scene, they're just like, oh, this guy's so boring. I'm like, is this how you would really act in front of somebody? Like, come on, they're, like, not listening to him at all.
Yeah, Michelle, too, is like, whatever.
Yeah, these are just all selfish people. The guy is essentially like, well, only 9 of the 75 students are paying any money. And Michelle's like, wait, what? They're not paying anything? And Fanny's like, yeah, they can't pay for it. It's no big deal. Like, I'll just take this money. And Michelle's like, well, you not make it. That's why you can't pay any of your bills. It's because you have zero income coming in. The accountant tells him, like, you've got some money, Michelle, that Hubble left you that will keep things running for a while, but not forever. You're going to have to get some income, you know, for herself, too, to pay her own bills. Which is true. It's like, Michelle, you're going to need to get a job. I don't know what your plans were regarding that.
It was a pretty funny bit here, too, because Michelle just keeps saying, like, 9? I said 9 students are paying? Like, 9? And Fanny's like, you sound like a German. And then she has some other reference. Like,
yeah, it's pretty funny. 9?
And when they're leaving, she's like, all right, say auf Wiedersehen. We got to go.
On the way home, Fanny doesn't talk about it at all because she's busy listening to some really cool tunes on her iPad. On her iPod. And it's kind of funny because when she walks into the house, she's sort of like dancing to the music, like really grooving. And Michelle takes out the plugs to talk to her. And she's like, there's no music playing? You were pretending to listen to music to not talk to me about this?
We also find out that the Wu twins are the only people that are paying full price. Are there 9 Wu twins?
I think everyone is paying nothing.
Yeah.
And there's 9 kids who are paying something. And only 2 of them are paying full price.
Yeah, that's how you must have to interpret that.
Fanny really wants the kids to be able to dance, and it's like a hard economy right now for a lot of these kids. Like, their parents have lost their jobs, and she would hate to charge them because then they wouldn't be able to come. I kind of find it hard to believe that out of 75 kids, they all need scholarships. Like, that seems like a lot.
Yeah. Also, why isn't Sasha paying full price? Isn't her family rich?
Yeah, totally. She should at least be paying full price.
It seems like there should be a few rich people in this town.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Hubble had money. It's like a beach town.
Yeah, it's just, I kind of don't understand. It's kind of silly to pretend out of 75 students, only 9 of them are paying and only 2 of them are paying full price.
Yeah, I almost feel like 25 would have been almost just as shocking as 9.
Yeah. Michelle suggests, well, okay, if you're not going to charge them any more money, then you could just start adding some classes that you do charge for. Some classes that maybe, you know, aren't like ballet, like some tap classes or like Zumba or like any other kind of class that'll bring money in, even if it's like a popular silly class like having dogs do stuff. It sounded weird. Dogs do acceptable stuff.
Like dance.
Yeah.
There's kind of a cool moment in this scene though where Michelle's trying to, you know, encourage Fanny that they need to figure this out. They need to get money. She says, Hubble's not around to save the day anymore. And Kelly Bishop just like does such a great job with her eyes. Like, she's kind of just staring blankly at Michelle, but her eyes are, like, welling up at, like, that idea that her son used to probably give her some financial support, and he's dead.
Yeah, totally. And I think that there's an additional line that I thought was good where Michelle says, for either of us.
Yes, meaning that, yes. You know,
Hubble saved her, too.
I forgot about, yeah. Like, he saved her from her life of whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Being unhappy in Vegas. Not that she really has any purpose now yet.
Well, Fanny tries to talk her into teaching. She's like, why don't you teach? You could take up some classes. You could help me out. Michelle's like, no, I can't do that. I don't teach. She's just like adamant she doesn't teach. And Fanny keeps like pushing her to do it. And then she puts the headphones in. She's like, I can't hear you. I'm listening to music.
She dances a little to the music. That's
pretty funny.
Very funny.
Meanwhile, the girls come back to Rico's oysterary, decked out in their best homecoming dresses. Maybe I'm the outlier, but I feel like these dresses, women are going to hate me for saying this. I don't find this type of dresses attractive. Like, this one's got like a big flower bow in the top. And I'm like, I don't know. I don't like it. I don't know. Like, it's not like, ugh. But they're wearing these to attract attention and look good for the super hot guy.
Who is like 27 years old.
Sure. But I do feel like girls would do this. Don't you?
Yeah, I guess. I mean, I could see wanting to look good, knowing this guy you have a crush on is going to be there. But it almost feels like they're hoping he's going to, like, be with them. I feel like when I was, like, 16, I had no ambitions to be with a man that was like even 22. Like I did not think that someone that much older than me would be interested.
I hear what you're saying, but I don't know. It didn't strike me as outlandish. I mean, I would say it's sort of childish. Like, you know, they kind of don't know what they're doing or even what they want, but like they wouldn't hate getting attention from him.
Yeah. Yeah. I think if that's what it is, then it kind of makes sense.
But I don't like these dresses. I'm sorry. I'm sure you guys love them. I just is kind of like, oh, okay, yeah, it wouldn't work on me. But, you know, I also don't look like this guy.
So I kind of like the yellow one.
Yeah?
Yeah.
But, yeah, even Jenny is wearing, like, such a beautiful dress. You know, she also dressed up. And they're trying to get his attention, and he's not looking. Also, they're not the only women in the bar doing this. There's, like, a couple other seats.
Oh, I didn't notice that.
Ogling the guy. Yeah, they even, Sasha points it out.
That's funny. I missed that.
They also, again, demand food. Boo shows up and gives them free fries and is like, I'm going to list all of our specials. And they're like, we don't want to hear your specials. We're not going to get them. And she's like, my manager's here. And they seem like annoyed with her. And I'm like, girl, you're getting free fries from your friend. Like, just play along for a minute. Michelle shows up upset. This is all very funny. She just sits down with the girls, which I think is weird. And the girls call it out as being weird. Like, what are you doing? She's like, oh, I've had a day. It'll make you guys want to hang out with someone that's 15 years younger. And they're like, we're like 20 years younger.
She's like, we'll split the difference. Let's call it 17. Split the difference.
She just starts eating their fries. She's like, you know, some people, I don't want to say who they are. People like Fanny. She just keeps saying Fanny. I thought that was pretty funny. Then she starts complaining. And then she realizes the girls are there, you know, for this guy. And she also finds out his name's Godot. And I mean, I saw this joke coming a mile away. So she's like, oh, you guys are waiting for Godot? And the girls are like, I have no idea what you're talking about. They don't get the reference. She gives him some advice about how to date guys like this. Essentially, she's like, he's going to be a smelly, dumb boy and poor forever. What I will say, though, is that, you know, Rico's got a business.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
That's all. He is dumb. I don't think that Rico's a smart guy. That's not the impression I'm getting, but he has
money. Also don't really learn that this guy's dumb.
No, but she suggests he's dumb, though.
Yeah, yeah. But I don't know that that's ever proven in this episode. He doesn't seem, like, crazy deep, but he's not, like, as dumb as Rico.
And he doesn't smell bad like Michelle suggests he would.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
She's like, guys, like, they don't shower, they're dumb, like, that's it.
Speaking of smelling bad, Boo walks by at some point. She comes from behind Michelle. Michelle can tell that she's coming. Because she smells, which is pretty funny because we haven't seen Michelle interact with Boo in this episode. So it's like become known that Boo smells bad and even as little as Michelle interacts with her.
But the girls are kind of like, can you leave? You're being weird. So she leaves and then does like a hang 10 move at Godot, who does it back.
Yeah.
Sasha, you know, super confident. Sasha's like, I bet I can get him to give me a drink. I thought this was kind of fun. She goes over there and then like tries to be a little flirty. And he like doesn't even acknowledge her at all for a while. She's just sort of talking to him and like he's not even registering that she's there.
She's like rambling about how many bottles this bar has compared to like another bar she's been to.
And I don't know, she's trying to be flirty and he's just not having it. You pointed out that it is weird, and I felt this way a little bit, that he doesn't seem to even acknowledge her at all while she's like 2 feet away talking to him. But I would say that I think, you know, she's a kid and he didn't even really register that she's a customer, because a kid her age wouldn't have any business at the bar. Maybe she's just getting toothpicks or she's talking to somebody there.
Yeah.
Eventually, though, he's like, did you want something for the bar? And she asks for some cherries and then she leaves because her flirting didn't work.
What does she order for? She says like a Shirley Grenadine. She says like the beginning of Shirley Temple and like kind of the word grenadine, which is the red juice that the cherries are in.
Yeah, I don't think she knows any drinks.
Yeah, she just asked for a cup of cherries, which should not be free, by the way. It's an expensive garnish he just handed her for free.
I agree. Sasha goes back to her table, sad, and outside, Boo is doing her trash jumping, which I'm sure is really getting her legs into shape for dancing.
Mm-hmm. She should be good at it.
And Godot goes out to just hang out, and he's like, what are you doing jumping in the garbage? I don't know why he sounds kind of like Jack Nicholson. What are you doing jumping in the garbage? And she's all like, I'm supposed to do this. That kid that's a manager. And he just starts laughing. He's like, that guy's not a manager. My parents don't do titles. You shouldn't be doing this. Here, you can have my shirt because I love taking my shirt off, which I get because when you have a body like that, why put a shirt on it? You know what I mean?
Yeah, take it off. Warm out.
He's like, this shirt doesn't smell. I also do feel like it's weird to just give someone a shirt, but whatever. He gives her a shirt. They bond. She's like, this shirt smells like amazing. And he's like, yeah, after you've like surfed the craziest waves and like been on the top of mountains, it'll change your smell. And I'm like,
The clam smell from the kitchen just don't stick to you anymore, baby. Like, what?
Yeah.
She's like, you work where I work. How does your shirt not smell?
So I'm confused. On the one hand, Michelle was wrong about the smell. But on the other hand, you do seem like an idiot. So, no. The stuff he said about changing your smell made me feel like he was a moron.
Yeah, maybe.
Or just very misinformed about smells. Or I'm ignorant of how smells happen. Maybe life experiences do change your body odor. I don't know.
Well, he doesn't smell, though. So something must be working.
Yeah, I mean, probably because every time a shirt starts to smell, he takes it off.
Yeah, when he was walking around shirtless in the beginning of the episode, do you think he had, like, just given his shirt to a different dumpster girl?
It's part of my job is just clothing the dumpster girls.
I'm the laundry. I just wear shirts and they smell fine. I give them to girls. We're making him sound like Rico, but he does not.
No. So he and Boo, I don't know that I would call it, like, flirting, but they definitely bond a little bit. Also, at this time, Michelle makes a huge scene at the studio. She just shows up. She, like, grabs his staff and, like, pounds it on the ground to get everyone's attention. She's like, everybody listen up. Now, everyone here is, like, happily getting ready for a big show they're going to do, putting on costumes. They're all having a good time.
It's the flower festival or something like that.
Yeah. And then she, you know, hits the ground with the staff. She's like, listen up, everybody. You're going to start paying. And start paying for your classes. And she's being kind of, she's being too mean about it to the point where it's like ridiculous. And then we cut to the aftermath. So there's obviously a big part we miss. We don't see where I think we're led to believe she gets like much more bold and outrageous in her behavior. We hear that she like just reaches into some woman's purse and takes out her wallet. So no. There's stuff we don't see, but she goes too far. And we cut to her on the phone, just apologizing to all the mothers and asking and begging them to just please stay with Fanny's dance studio. And it's funny because at some point the Wu twins' parents call and she's like, wait, we're the only ones paying full price? She's like, yeah, okay, so we'll pay you. You don't have to pay full price.
Yeah, they're going to pay half price for a little while. It does seem crazy that people would just like pull out their kids. Like they're still going to get it for free. Why also pull them out?
Mm-hmm. I think we're led to believe that Michelle is just like so outrageous that it like scared them.
Yeah. She was a lot. There was a conversation she had with Fanny where she's like, fine, we'll just get the people to pay more then. I'm not going to teach. I'll be the bad cop. I have no problem doing that. So she leaned a little too hard into being the bad cop.
I get it, though. Like, if you are afraid to put your daughter in a studio because there's, like, a very angry woman that works there, you already are worried about the ass man in the bushes. Like, I get it. Fanny is upset, of course, about everything. And she's like, we lost money now because the Woos are going to be paying less.
So now they don't have enough people to do this flower show that's so important to the town. And again, Fanny is like, Michelle, you should just help me teach. I've seen you with these girls. You're good. Like, you helped them with Hubble's Memorial Dance in, like, one evening. And I walked in on you doing that, like, fake audition with them that really works. Like, you're good at this. And she's like, no, I don't teach. Not me. I felt like in this episode we would, like, get some reason that she doesn't want to teach, like she had a bad experience or something, but I don't know that we really dive into like why she is so hesitant to teach.
Yeah, it would be nice to have some exposition, either talking to somebody else or talking to Fanny or like through a flashback as to why she is so opposed to teaching. Does it feel like failure? I don't know why she'd be so opposed.
Maybe we will still. But Michelle's like, you know what? I'm just going to make some calls. I'm going to get the flower show back on.
So Boo and Godot are now besties, and as Boo is leaving her work, Sasha and the girls are there to pick her up, and they see her just hanging out with Godot. He's even made her a mix CD of the best surf music, I guess, and she's wearing his shirt, and the girls see that, and they're like, what the hell is happening? And you could tell Sasha hates it. She's making little snide comments because she failed and struck out so much right in front of him, and now it seems that Boo Tina, which is her fucking name, I guess, Boo Tina?
Yeah, like Buttina, because they were like, how is Boo short for Buttina?
She's Buttina, and it doesn't seem romantic at all, but it does seem very, very friendly and familiar. And he has a new shirt, by the way. I don't know where that came from, but he found a new shirt.
He's going to have to give it to someone else soon. That's his job. He cleans shirts with his body.
His body just cleans them all. He just sleeps in a bunch of those denim pants.
I was wondering what Boo's real name was.
But Sasha, like, hates all of this. And when Boo gets in the car, you can tell she's just like, oh, it's like jealous and angry that Boo succeeded where she failed.
So it's the day of the show. She got all but two of the students back. Who does she have in the show? She just has like two random girls playing trees.
I don't know who they were. They were just people.
I don't remember what she said their job was, but they kind of just show these two girls like half-assedly pretending to be trees.
Okay, this show is insane, is how I would describe it. The show is called Paper or Plastic, and it's a dance about choosing paper or plastic at the checkout.
Yeah.
And everyone loves it, including Michelle. She's like, this is beautiful. It's wonderful. It's crazy. I love it. And it's a big hit. And you get this feeling that maybe Michelle is warming up to the idea of teaching when she sees what can be produced through teaching.
Yeah,
but we don't get that. Not yet. I think we're getting like a slight warming up to it, but we don't get like the actual thing. But we do see Fanny just so proud of the kids, but also, you know, proud of her own work because she wrote this. But also, you know, she mentions how much fun it was for the kids. And, you know, she's glad that they can have this experience.
Yeah, she's trying to like show Michelle how rewarding it can be to teach.
We also get a quick line. This is very confusing. So Ass Man, as I call him, or you might call him Sal from Sal's Dancy Pants. He comes over. He's like, great show. Loved it. And Michelle's like, hey, we put up your poster for Sal's Dancy Pants. Does that make us even until the next billing season? He's like, we're all set. And then she says to Fanny, like, do you think he'll realize he hasn't got paid? And Fanny's like, no, no. And they kind of laugh about it. But I'm like, but didn't you just say that was the payment? I'm confused about what he's confused about. I feel like you just told him you paid him via this poster. I don't think he thinks that he got paid in money. What?
I'm guessing he thinks that they did some kind of like advertising deal and just like isn't really thinking about the fact that there's isn't also payment for the bills. I don't know. It doesn't make a lot of sense.
Oh, and then he mentions about how Truly's got a certain kind of butt. And she's like, stop doing that. It's creepy. Yeah.
Which he was like, you were a figure skater, weren't you?
All very funny. I hope this is a thing that continues for however long the show goes.
Just like 11 more episodes. So, Brian, did you like this episode?
So I did. It was pretty funny. It made me laugh several times. And we're starting to like finally get to the plot of the show. However, I do feel it's like got some flaws. Like, why does Michelle not want to teach? I feel like the show's doing this thing where it's like, oh, we're setting something up and then we'll address it later. But it's not done smoothly enough, you know? Like, it raises questions that you're kind of annoyed that you don't have the answers to. Not like you're excited and anticipating the answers. Or there's not like something in the air that makes you feel like there are answers to these questions. It feels like the writers forgot something. And maybe they didn't, but that's how it feels. Like, tell us why Michelle doesn't want to teach. Why is she so opposed to it? Or allude to the fact that there's a reason she doesn't want to teach.
I wonder if some of this is due to the network that it aired on. Because it was written for, like, ABC Family.
Yeah.
I think that is a little bit more, like, for teens. But so is, like, the WB. You know? I feel like the networks are similar audiences.
Yeah.
Like, if it's not quite as complex of an adult show, and they're, like, trying to do more with, like, these little young girls' relationships to, like, appeal to
people. Well, I don't know, though,
because
it addresses sex pretty front and center.
That's true. I think just, like, the target audience feels a little more sloppy than maybe Gilmore Girls did. I don't know if that, like, really matches with what you're saying, but there is something there that I think is, like, confusing. But we talked about this, too. Like, Michelle is very Lorelai in her, like, kind of allotness, like being the center of attention, but she doesn't have that like heart to balance it out, like in her relationship with Rory. So she's just like kind of a lot all the time. I mean, now I think they are starting to lean into her being sort of the heart when it comes to the girls and even with Fanny, but it is taking a while to get there. They don't know that they're on a ticking time clock though, like we do.
Right. It's one of those things that like over time you could be like, oh no, you're telling a story with little bits that you're leading up to it, but it's like, yeah, but you don't have time for that. Like, you've got to make me like the character so I keep watching.
I did think this episode was very funny, though.
I agree. It was very, very funny.
Maybe one of the better episodes so far.
I think this is the strongest episode, in my opinion, so far. It was pretty funny. I liked it.
And it's, like, kind of clear the direction it's going now.
Yeah, I just have issues with logic holes, which all shows have. But I get hung up on them. But, like, if you just put that aside, it had some pretty funny lines.
All right. Should we move on?
Let's move on. And now for a special segment we like to call Movies One of Us Has Never Seen.
As you know, we used to use this portion of the podcast to talk about Charmed, a WB show airing around the same time of Buffy and Gilmore Girls that neither of us had ever seen.
But now we're taking turns making our partner explain what they think happened in a movie that they've never seen, based only on the title and very little other information.
This week, I have chosen a movie that I think Brian has not seen. Brian, have you seen the movie Grease?
Yes.
Two?
No. I was like, honey, I think you know I have.
Grease 2. You have not seen?
I have not.
Okay. Do you know anything about it?
I mean, I would suspect it follows the events of Grease.
You'd think. That wasn't like a leading thing. Okay. Do you want to ask me any questions before you tell us what it's about?
Okay. Yeah. Which characters from the first movie return for this movie?
Okay, I'll see if I can name some. The principal and her, like, assistant, I'm pretty sure.
Cool. Don't remember them from Grease at all.
Uh-huh. Frenchie.
That girl gets pregnant in the first one.
That's incorrect.
Okay.
The coach, Coach Calhoun.
Wow, this really, they brought all the stars back for this one.
I think Eugene is maybe in the first one. He's kind of like the nerd. I can't remember, but spoilers, he's in the second one.
Okay, spoilers. I only know just the basics of what happened in Grease.
Gotcha.
Okay, question 2. Is it still about cars?
No.
Ooh, juicy answer. Because I was going to say, I bet it's about a dinosaur car, so I'm glad. Last question.
Oh, it does not have a good IMDb rating.
Okay.
Little clue.
Is it a love story?
Yes.
Okay. Grease 2. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
Grease 2 is about Frenchie getting a job at a hair stylist place, which it calls salon. That's why it's still called Grease. And she starts working there, and she's got this terrible boss who, like, is over her shoulder all the time. Like, you're not doing a good job, Frenchie. You suck, Frenchie. And it's like, she's like, stop calling me Frenchie. She's like, I'll call you Frenchie all day if I want. You suck.
That's her name.
Oh, I thought that was maybe
a
nickname.
I think it is a nickname, but like everyone calls her that.
Okay. Well, not your boss. Okay. So she's working at the salon just like all the time. And this guy comes in with his girlfriend one day and he's waiting for her. And he's just like such a cool dude. You know what I mean? He's like very much like the guys from the first Grease.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like waiting patiently with his like girlfriend who's just like so much. She's just like the worst. And she's just like constantly like kind of putting him down a little bit, even though he's like super hot. She's hot too, though. So just FYI.
Yeah.
And Frenchie's like doing her hair. And this woman is like also criticizing her a little bit and just being so much. And Frenchie makes some kind of joke. And this guy like laughs a little bit behind his newspaper. And she makes eye contact. And this girl's like got nothing. She hates it.
A lot happens. How much of the movie is this scene?
This scene is early in the movie. And so this girl gets Frenchie fired.
Oh, shit.
So Frenchie's fired and she doesn't have a job. And so she gets another job at a salon nearby that's not as good. And she has to do a lot more work at this place, even though she was doing a lot at the last place. But slowly over the course of the movie, she like turns this place into like a really cool salon. And this she starts doing guys' hair. That's the big difference. And so this guy starts bringing his buddies over to get their hair done because they've greased it so much that like they don't, they're just like solid now. So they like need professional help. So
they really embraced the title in the sequel, huh?
They did. So again, this is not me. This is the movie. And so like over time, Frenchie and this guy start dating and I don't know, he gets her pregnant. Finally, because she was like, she really wanted to be pregnant in the first movie. And now she's pregnant in this one. And, you know, he ends up leaving that other girl who gets like a bunch of mud splashed on her in a scene. That's not super important, but it happens. And yeah, and Frenchie and this new guy end up together. And she wears leather pants at the end for a song.
Is there a lot of songs or just the one at the end?
It's weird because there's a song at the beginning from Frenchie.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's one at the end from Frenchie.
But none in the middle.
No. And the people are kind of like, are you singing? She's like, yeah, where I'm from, like, everybody sings a lot. It's, like, normalized. But
oh, this is a different town.
Yes.
Okay.
Frenchie had to leave because she didn't get pregnant. Everyone was like, if you're not going to get pregnant, you got to go.
The town got rid of her?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Or the school?
All of them.
I think she graduated. Well, she should have.
So, yeah, that's the plot. What am I shooting, like, 80% accuracy, 85%?
I would say, like, nearly zero.
Come on. There's no way there's not a salon that she works at that she gets fired from, and then she starts a new salon that caters to boys.
I think the Frenchie is really not that big a part of Grease 2.
Oh, the coach also works there.
The salon?
Yeah.
I mean,
does that get me up a little bit? 10%?
No. Okay. No.
Is Frenchie not pregnant? Fine. There's no pregnancy.
I love that one of the few pieces of information I gave you about this movie is a list of people that have returned from the first one, and they all work at the school. You chose to set this in a totally different location.
They work at her new hair salon.
All of them?
Yeah.
Okay.
They get fired from the school because of everything from the first movie.
Uh-huh. All that happened.
Yeah. A kid thought they got pregnant. That's enough to get a principal fired.
That part of Grease really had an impact on you.
I remember the dancing and the leather pants and bun in the oven. That's all I remember from this movie. And the "did she put up a fight" lyrics, which is like, those kind of lyrics get a principal fired and a coach fired.
Yes, they it's their fault for allowing the children to sing those lyrics.
And a nerd fired.
Yeah, he gets paid. He's a teacher like Willow. It's a very different movie than the first one in some ways, but it's kind of like a recycled version of it. Mm. When you ask if there were cars,
yeah,
it's not really. It's about motorcycles now.
God damn it.
And it's kind of the same like love story in that like one of the cool people wants to be with someone that's not one of the cool people.
Right. And that was the plot of the first Grease, right? That I'm learning now.
Well, yeah. Sandy wanted to be with Danny, but Sandy was just some rando nerd.
Oh.
That they met at the beach, you know, summer lovin'.
Right. It happened so fast.
But Danny was a T-bird. He can't just be with a girl that's not one of the pink ladies.
Right.
So this is about a pink lady that falls in love with a nerdy dude, but he wants to be with her. But he can't because he's not T-bird.
So it's a reverse Grease.
Yes.
Are we sure that there isn't a third one that is similar to what I said? Okay.
I'll read you the description. 2 years after the life-altering events in Grease, Sandy's cousin Michael, a straight-laced English student. Yeah, he's Sandy's cousin, by the way. Straight-laced English student is the new guy at Rydell High. Stephanie, the pink lady's foxy blonde leader, who is played by Michelle Pfeiffer, I will add, is about to break up with Johnny, the T-Bird's leader. But she still likes her men dangerous, even as Michael starts to attract her attention. Now, Michael needs to up his game, learn how to ride a motorcycle, and transform himself into Stephanie's hot, leather-clad fantasy. Is he up to the task?
Is he?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
So he, like, helps the T-Birds do their homework. Like, he does their homework for them for money so that he can, like, build a motorcycle. And he, like, learns how to ride a motorcycle. And he just, like, shows up with a helmet on and, like, swoops her off into the night multiple times in the movie. And they, like, ride on his motorcycle.
Times?
Yeah. He's okay. Like, this phantom that keeps showing up.
Oh, the helmet to obscure who he is?
Yes.
His identity? Oh, okay.
So she That's never weird. Knows who he is because he's just this, like, mysterious helmeted dude. Even though he also was, like, helping her with her homework. And she, like, has a relationship with this guy.
But he wears his helmet then, too?
No. But she tells him, like, he tries to ask her out in his normal form. And she's like, no.
His normal form?
There's this code. I'm supposed to date a T-Bird. I can't be with you. And then, like, the T-Bird leader, Johnny, is, like, very possessive of her the whole movie. Because they used to be a couple. But she doesn't like being owned, understandably.
Mm, right. She does like when a mysterious man with no face abducts her. But she doesn't like being owned.
But at the end,
women are complicated.
The T-Birds respect his ability and hand him a jacket. Even
nice.
Though school's over now and she should be able to date who he wants, Johnny says, now you have my permission to date him because he's a T-Bird.
Yeah, it was rough when we started dating. I remember having to go to your ex and get permission, but he gave it to me.
People don't like this movie. I kind of did growing up. For some reason, I think my parents preferred this one. We had it, like, taped off of TV, and my parents really liked this. It has some pretty good songs, but, like, I watched it a couple years ago. It's kind of dumb. Like, there's some songs that are just
awful. I mean,
awful.
It sounds dumb.
But, yeah, some of the plot kind of falls apart. But some of the first movie has boring songs, too. But like I said, we had this taped off of TV, and there's a song in it called Reproduction, which is just like co-ed health class gone awry, where the kids are like talking about sex very explicitly. That was not in the TV version. So at some point we got like the real tape. I was like, whoa, what was this song? Where has this been all my life?
It's funny.
It's kind of, there's a lot of inappropriate
stuff. Is there a lot about wearing your helmet?
No. We'll watch it sometime.
Oh, we will?
Yeah.
Cool. Then we're going to watch Carnosaur.
Okay? I will watch Carnosaur if you watch Grease 2.
All right. It's a deal.
Okay.
I don't know that I want to watch Carnosaur again.
No, we made a deal. Oh, and Frenchie is just kind of the liaison because she was friends with Sandy. So
she's
she
not
just
the
sort
main
of,
character?
No. She just sort of welcomes Michael to the school. And she actually didn't graduate. No, I think she graduated, but she's like back at high school to get some cosmetics.
To get some? Walking into reproduction class.
To get like chemistry credit so she can like mix cosmetics. I don't remember if she flunked high school or not, but she's like taking some high school classes, which justifies someone from the first movie being here.
Does someone get pregnant in the first movie?
Yeah, Rizzo.
Okay.
But no, it was a false alarm. She thought she was pregnant, but she wasn't.
I feel like there was a bun in the oven like reference that I remember from the first movie.
Yeah, but it turns out she wasn't. They used a bad condom. Which I did not understand as a child what was happening. I was like, what broke? What broke?
I like the idea that you've only seen like edited for TV movies and like you just don't know anything about like sex until you hit like 20.
Honestly, it was the same with Annie. I mostly watched a taped off of TV version for most of my life.
What was cut from Annie?
A whole scene where they explain sex.
Are you serious?
No.
Okay. I was like, what? How does that fit into Annie?
A couple
Tim Curry's
off.
Just like, this is where all the orphans come from.
They actually did cut a big chunk of Tim Curry's musical number for the TV version.
Probably because it's too hot.
A little bit. It's a little sexy.
Check out Legend. You want to see a sexy Tim Curry?
Will do. Okay. This is Ben.
Movies one of us has never seen.
Well, now let's move on to Firefly, which we just watched. Stacey, can you give us a quick summary of Safe?
This episode is about the ship touching down on a planet to sell all the cows that they got in the last episode, where River and Simon get kidnapped. And we also get a lot more backstory about River and Simon, like literal flashbacks about how we got where we are. And we also don't really learn what's happening with Book, but we find out that there's more to him than we know. Good?
Good.
Interestingly enough, both Firefly and Bunheads start with a lengthy recap of how we got where we are. Like, Bunheads went all the way back to, like, Vegas, Hubble dying. It covered a lot. And this does as well. It goes back to, like, tell us about River and Simon, about Book not telling us everything. Like, they showed a lot of old clips. And both start with, like, the exterior of a house. We don't normally see the outside of Fanny's house, but they started on that. And this actually starts with a kind of similar looking house, which is Simon and River's childhood home. We see them as like 10 and 12-ish, I would say, maybe a little younger. Simon is like doing some homework and River's kind of playing. Like she's got like this elaborate kind of war fantasy game she's like got in her head that he's kind of part of, but he's more focused on his homework. And we've set up that she's very smart. I think she kind of like corrects his homework at some point or like tells him he did something
wrong. She corrects the book. She's like, the book's fallacious.
Yeah, like she thinks the prose of the book is flawed.
I actually kind of feel like this is a bit annoying to call something like the book fallacious, because if the data was wrong, that's one thing. But to say it's fallacious, like, I mean, a not genius would be able to tell if something was fallacious or not.
Sure.
Anyway, sorry, who cares?
The casting of young Simon in particular is amazing.
Yes.
He looks just like him. That dude's got like kind of a weird face and this kid matches him very well.
Yeah. Not like ugly face, just different. And this kid
looks a specific like face. Yeah. I don't remember if she looked as much like Summer. Like she's kind of got the eyes, but him in particular, I was like, I know who we're looking at right now. Whoa, that's Zac Efron?
Wow.
You know Zac Efron, right?
Yeah. From Firefly.
Do you really not know who Zac Efron is?
He's a singer, right?
No. I mean, he's in High School Musical, but...
Yeah, that's what I thought.
I think he's in, like, The Neighbors. He plays young Chandler Bing in that 17 Again movie. He's in that wrestling family movie that's out right now.
Yeah, I don't know who this guy is. I'm sorry. I should, but I don't. Sorry, everyone.
Well, I do, and I'm shook. Are you?
Yes, I am. I am shook.
I meant the people. You're beyond being shook. And no, I guess I see it. He does kind of look like him as an adult, but I guess this is his first role. Huh. Their dad comes in, who we both thought had Max Medina vibes. It takes a while before we actually, like, see his face, but he just kind of, like, sounded like him a little bit and looks like him vaguely on paper, but it's clearly not him.
No, this is clearly, this is far in the future where they have found a way to make a mix of Ray Romano and the man who plays Max Medina.
Who we met.
This actor.
His name is Scott Cohen.
Scott Cohen or Giacomo.
Giacomo.
That's very inside.
Isn't someone in 30 Coins named Giacomo?
Yeah.
If you missed our episode where we talked about our cast panel, I think we revealed that Max Medina, Scott Cohen, used to be a clown named Giacomo. Anyway. Young Simon is like, Dad, my fancy technology that you gave me isn't fancy enough. I need a better computer thing. I don't exactly know what he's asking for, but some kind of computer for his schooling isn't like the latest and greatest. And his dad's like, oh, son, no, you can't have it. It's too expensive. But then he reveals that his mother actually bought it for him because they're rich and spoiled.
Nice.
He's like, we got it for you already, but you have to promise to become a great, great doctor. And then he reads a newspaper.
Yeah, okay. We see like an electrified fence outside their house. We see them talking about all the sophisticated, futuristic stuff they're going to have. And then he leans back and takes out a fucking newspaper. I'm like, are you kidding me? Newspapers were outdated when I was in college, when this show was on the air.
Yeah. They do also have a book, but I almost kind of buy that. I mean, that could still exist, but they're probably not doing a daily print newspaper.
No.
When, like, I'm sure some version of the internet exists. Maybe it's a status thing. Only rich people get them.
You could argue that, but I just feel like just the way we are today, like, we don't have newspapers now. No one wants that.
Cut to present day. Well, future day. You know, present day in the show.
Cut to 2024.
Simon and River on the ship. I think Simon spends a lot of his time trying to figure out what's wrong with River, but she's not having it today. She doesn't want to do tests. She's having flashbacks of scientists digging shit in her eyes. And she's like, no, I'm not doing it today. She's throwing a tantrum. And Malcolm comes in. He's like, oh, I see she's added cussing and tossing things about to her repertoire. He's upset because they have a ship full of cattle. And he thinks her being loud is going to scare the cattle and make them stampede, which doesn't really work well on a ship.
More on that later.
Yes. Then, quickly before the intro song, we see some evil rabbit skinners down on a planet. They're just, like, clearly supposed to be bad dudes.
Yeah.
That are just, like, ripping the skin off rabbits, which is fine. You can do that if you're going to eat the rabbit. If it's just for pleasure, then no. But, like, their job
isn't evil. I feel like it was for food.
Yes, they're not just torturing rabbits, but they're clearly supposed to be, like, bad dudes.
Yeah.
Because ship... The Serenity ship is, like, coming into the atmosphere, and they're like, we're gonna take advantage of them, folk. So we're on the planet. They're letting the cattle out. Simon steps in a big pile of shit. You and I talked a lot about if this is real cow poop or not.
I wouldn't be surprised if it was, because you'd have to make fake cow poop, which is
just
money.
And they got a bunch
money.
Of real cows walking around.
Yeah, so it makes sense to use real cow poop. Anyway, that's my thoughts.
Jane is yelling at them to get off the ship, and Malcolm's like, you know, they can be led very well. You could just, like, lead them. He's like, I like smacking them.
Very funny.
I don't know if that's okay, but it was a funny line.
And just to be clear, the actor, I feel like, pantomimes like he's slapping them, but I am sure he's not actually slapping the cows, like, in any way that would hurt them. But it makes sense for Jane's character to be the, like, total, like, piece of shit.
Yeah. River is kind of like talking to the cows. She's like, they are happy that they're outside now. They're not meant to be in the ship. She says it in a way more like poetic nonsense way than that. But that's
right.
It's clear that's what she means. And Malcolm's like, is it weird that that made sense? But he goes to Simon and he's like, take your weird sister away from my cow business. Like, I'm about to trade these cows for money and I don't want her being here being weird. And Simon kind of hates this. He's like, well, sorry that she is, like, you know, in the way of your evil dealings. You know, we're just like being outside, like people want to be. But he's like, shut the fuck up. Get out. Take a walk. I don't want your sister here. So they're not on great terms. Meanwhile, on the planet, Kaylee and Inara are in, like, a little general store, and Kaylee picks up, like, this plate that she think might be a nice gift. And Inara's like, ooh, maybe for Simon? She's like, maybe, no, I'm not in love with him, except I am.
I'm totally in love with him.
And they're kind of talking about how she's in love with him. And then him and River come in. And Ara's like, shh, he's behind you. And then Simon comes into the shop and basically like picks up this plate and calls it junk.
He's like, ask for money for this garbage.
Yeah. And he's just kind of like, he's upset with Malcolm. So he's sort of like shitting all over Malcolm and like the ship and just kind of this like lifestyle, which Kaylee takes offense to.
Because she's chosen this lifestyle.
Yeah. She's like, if you hate all that, then you clearly like don't respect people that make this choice. And she kind of storms out. We don't really deal with that in this episode, really, that her crush on him is now very tainted.
Yeah. I mean, I think she gets over it when he gets kidnapped.
Yeah. But while he's talking to Kaylee, he loses track of River. She's wandering around the store. She ends up going out a back door or something. Meanwhile, Malcolm is negotiating a cow price with these dudes who they've arranged ahead of time to meet to sell the cows to.
For a second, it seems like these guys might be the rabbit skinners. It's hard to tell because everyone is dressed kind of drab. And these guys seem like they might be those guys.
Yeah, but it's not them. It's different guys. They were supposed to pay $30, or I don't know, 30 space monies for each cow.
30 coins, which is interesting.
Mm, connections to something unrelated.
To a totally different random show.
But they're like, nah, they're malnourished and all messed up from being in space for so long. We are only paying 20 now. So I don't know what they land on exactly.
25.
But yeah, Malcolm's like, we'll settle on 25 eventually.
Connections to the age difference between Michelle and the young girls. They settled on a middle number.
Interesting. Amy, you're really deep cutting now. Book makes a comment that these guys are a little jumpy. Like they're trying to get out of here quickly and like doing something wrong. Which is because they are about to be under arrest. This planet's cops come and are like, hey, you guys are in trouble. You said they murdered someone? I don't remember what they...
Yeah, they did something bad. I think it was murder of somebody else. So it's unrelated to this deal.
So then they just have like a shootout atop the cows, like across the pen that they have the cows in. Malcolm is able to grab like the sack of money at some point. So I think they end up getting the money. I don't know how much they get. But the cows seem very chill around this gunfire.
Yeah, we already set up that these cows are ready to stampede when a little girl shouts. And like there's just gunfire right next to them. And these cows are just totally fine with it. I was like, you set this up already. Why are we not having a stampede?
Yeah. I mean, they can't really go because they're in a pen, but they should be like.
But they set up in earlier that when they don't have anywhere to go, they like stampede and make like a mess.
Yes. Yes.
But also maybe they're not reacting because the gunshot sound effects are fucking weird. Yeah. I think the gunshots are like laser shots from Zoe's gun from far away, I think. But these guys are shooting, 100% are revolvers. And the sound effects I'm hearing are maybe gunshots mixed with, like, laser shots. But it seems like it's laser shots from these dudes' handguns. It's the sound composition is not great here.
Do Malcolm and Co. have, like, space lasers? Or do they use regular guns?
They use regular guns.
So there shouldn't be any, like, pew-pew.
Well, it's possible Zoe's got a laser that I'm forgetting about. I don't know.
Yeah, she's, like, shooting from up on a hill. Yeah, I don't know. It doesn't matter. But it did sound a little weird. And the cows were like, meh, this is normal. Moo, moo, moo.
Maybe the cows were self-conscious because they could hear so well on the ship and they heard Malcolm saying that they were scaredy cats. They're like, no, guys, we are chill cows. We're not going to freak out just because someone's making noise.
Simon exits the back of the store. I think he ends up finding River, who has discovered a little Midsummer festival. Like, it looks like she ends up in the movie Midsummer. There's just a bunch of people from this planet town dancing around like a pole, kind of. I'm not going to call it a flower dance because I want it to be a connection to Bunheads really badly. Because I don't think there are flowers, but it does have like spring festival vibes.
Yeah.
They're just all dancing around this. They see her. They're like, come in here, girl, dance with us. And she dances beautifully. She gets very into it. She's kind of like river dancing.
Oh.
River. Because she's River. Mm-hmm. Did she invent river dancing?
She did.
Hmm.
Way in the future.
But we also discussed this previously, that she played the dancer in Angel, the episode where they go to the ballet. So girl can dance. Simon is just kind of watching. He's like, oh, this is cool. She's vibing.
Well, I think he's like, oh, my sister's happy. That's something mm-hmm. that I want to have happen, and I don't see you often.
But she stops at some point. She's looking out. She sees something, and it is Simon having a bag put over his head by the rabbit skinners. He's kidnapped.
Well, she has a reaction to Shepard being shot. So in the shootout,
meanwhile,
simultaneously, Shepard gets shot by a stray bullet. And when that happens, Summer seems to react at the same time.
Yeah.
And then she notices her brother being kidnapped.
A lot of this episode is cutting back and forth between these two stories of like Simon and his sister, as well as their flashbacks, but also with the stuff that's happening with Book and Malcolm and the crew. But yes, I forgot about that. You're right. It did seem like she was reacting to Book, but then we do see that she sees Simon being kidnapped. So I was like, oh, is it that she was reacting to? But yeah, I think you're right that she does have some kind of like feeling that Book is in trouble as well. Because yes, the cows are fine, but Book gets shot in the crossfire of the fight, in the chest, the top left titty.
It definitely looks like a heart wound, which, I mean, wow.
Yeah, not good. So they take Book back to the ship, put him in the medical bay. They really need Simon, but as we discussed, Simon is busy getting kidnapped. So Kaylee is like, you're going to be okay. Malcolm and Zoe used to take care of people all the time back in the war. They're going to take care of you. But everyone's kind of like, yeah, we don't got this. Like, we can clean this up, but like, the doctor would be nice to have at this time. I wish he wasn't busy getting kidnapped.
Yeah, they're all like lying to him. Like, yeah, this is fine. No problem here. Like, but like pulling on their shirt collars. Like, oh, God.
Then we get another flashback to Simon, who's now the regular actor, a little younger. You know, this is slightly before, but he's a grown up teen man, boy. No, I don't know.
Maybe you could clean that up.
No.
Oh, okay.
I don't know. This is slightly before the show started, I assume.
Yeah, this is a flashback for when he started getting letters from his sister from her like special school that are making him feel like something's wrong. Like some of the words are spelled wrong. And she's like, this girl's like a genius. She doesn't spell words wrong. Like something's up. And her parents are like, Nah, everything's fine. Don't rock the boat. Like, just...
We're in on it. It's Avi.
But I feel like the parents are just, like, very much invested in their status and future. And they're like, yeah, whatever. I'm sure it's fine. Like, just focus on being a doctor.
But I do get major, they know what's going on vibes. Because he's like, she asked what was going on with the Darbanville ball. We don't know any Darbanvilles. Like, that's clearly a message. You guys don't care? Did you read the letter?
I mean, the dad's probably like, listen, I just don't have time to read these letters. I'm like reading newspapers after newspaper. I don't have time for this.
Maybe if she had sent the letter through a press, I would have the time. But it's just a handwritten note. I'm Max Medina.
Okay.
But yeah, they are not interested in helping Simon figure this out. The dad's like, Simon, you can't be talking crazy like this if you want to be a doctor. So just forget about it. Sweep it under the rug. It'll be cool. The kidnappers also have River. We see them both being led through the woods. They end up in a town where it's clear that these people kidnapped him to be the town doctor. It's at one of those planets where things aren't great and it's bad to kidnap someone, but it's for a legit good reason. Like, they have a house full of sick people and they just have like this woman caring for them that's not necessarily a doctor. So he feels inclined to help these people. He's very much like, yeah, I'll help, you know, I'm a little tired, had a long day of being abducted. Like, he's very sassy the whole episode.
I like his character.
He's like very sassy with Malcolm too.
Yeah,
which I mean, they call him like arrogant and shit, but I don't think he is like that big of a douchebag. Like, when he makes a comment like that, he's right.
Yeah, I mean, you could argue that he is arrogant, but it's like confidence and he's very smart. So that's why he's comes across as arrogant.
Yeah. But and they like say he's privileged and stuff, which he is. But I feel like he isn't like entitled.
Yeah, at least not anymore. I mean to say, we don't know what his past was like, but he gave it all up, which we'll see more of. This town is like, he gets there and there's this like sweet woman working there. At least she starts sweet. And she's very like religious, keeps mentioning God. And she's all like, it's all about where the journey takes you. And like, it doesn't matter where you wanted to go. Like, we need help here. And he's like, yeah, I will help. But like, yeah, this sucks. Like, we're here against our will. At first, you're inclined, I think, to like her, but you won't later.
That actually kind of reminded me of Bunheads. Like, this could be your home, you know? Mm. Like, your services are needed here. You should teach.
Yeah, he's got, like, a doctor tush, you could tell. Like, You know, I was thinking, like, how did the people know he was a doctor? They literally see the ship and they're like,
I wonder that
they got
too.
Good goods on that ship. They're not coming here for nothing. I'm like, oh, they're going to steal the money. They're going to steal the cows. They just grab a guy and they're like, he smells like a doctor. But maybe they're tush experts. Maybe Sal's among them. And they just saw his butt and they're like, that guy works
heart surgery,
medicine. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah, I wonder that too. I was like, did they somehow know the alliances like APB? You know, like that the ship like had smuggled people aboard.
Right.
Like,
maybe I don't know that they're advertising as a doctor. Who knows?
Yeah, I don't know. But yeah, I had that same thought. He doesn't like walk around with a bag full of doctor tools.
Right.
One of those things on his head.
One of those things on his head. Oh, yeah, you mean like those reflective. Yeah. I thought you meant a triangle like in Dune. It's a different show.
No. We just rewatched Dune 1, preparation for Dune 2.
And doctors have little triangles in their head.
So meanwhile, Zoe has patched up Book. She's putting a little gauze over his heart boo-boo. She's acting very confident. She's patched him up. And the doctor's like, yeah, you do great work. And where is the doctor, though? Like, this is, I can tell you don't actually know what you're doing and I'm going to die. Meanwhile, they've just, like, flown off into space. Like, Simon and his sister are like, we're going to be rescued. We feel good about it. But then they see the ship poof off into space. And like, well, fuck. I guess we're the
you
doctor.
Say poof off into space?
Yeah, it poofs off.
Okay.
Meanwhile, so he's like, well, fuck. I guess we're the doctor of this town now and his crazy sister.
The reason they leave, we kind of skimmed over that, is they find out that this planet has a history or a reputation for having people getting kidnapped a lot. Mm-hmm. And they already had a dubious deal go down where they could probably be implicated as to who they really are. And they need to get this money back to Badger, who they owe. And they don't want to get kidnapped themselves. So he's kind of like, let's just go right now.
Let's poof.
And they need to get medical attention from somebody. So they just like get off and they're starting to look for a planet where they can get medical attention for Preacher.
And they end up going to an Alliance ship.
Reluctantly, they do so. Zoe says to Malcolm, like, you know somewhere we could go, even though you don't want to go there. And so reluctantly, he goes to, yeah, an Alliance ship.
So they, you know, plug themselves into the Alliance, big old ship. They have a space bridge tunnel thing. Airlock? They go through. Space stuff.
Wow. Really painting a picture. They dock. They come on the ship.
Yeah. What I said. The Alliance comes aboard. They're all like, nah, we don't help you kind of people. You smuggler types. I don't exactly know if they're smugglers, but they suspect they're up to no good.
Well, even if they're not up to no good, they're like, we don't just help some random people that show up. We're not like an ER or a walk-in clinic.
Yeah, we didn't take a Hippocratic oath like that doctor who's just going to help his kidnappers with their sick people.
Right. But then Preacher's all like, oh, maybe check my ID. I got some secrets in there. And they check his ID and they're like, get him to the medical immediately.
Yeah, so they scan his ID in their little portable card reader. And they're like, yep, we got to help this man right away. Take him to a medical bay. So that's a little sus, because as far as we know, they don't just do that for any old clergy. So he must have some kind of secret status.
Yeah, he's got something going on.
So Simon has been helping some patients on this planet. He's lost River again, but she just went out back to pick some berries. This is a type of berry that they used to eat when they were children. So this is like a sweet little moment where they're eating these berries. And River has sort of a moment of clarity where she explains that she knows she's, like, messed up and, like, not in a good place right now. But she also, like, realizes the sacrifices he's made for her, that he gave up a lot to save her. And she's, like, grateful for that.
I thought this was a pretty emotional scene, personally.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I feel like they played it well. And it was, like, it was nice that she was just like, I know that you gave up everything for me.
Yeah. It was awesome. There's a girl in this, like, makeshift hospital who is mute that River's kind of been hanging around with. The woman who works here is like, yeah, she wasn't born mute. She's not deaf, but, like, the last couple years she hasn't really talked. And in this scene, River's like, her mom killed her sister. The nurse is like, oh, my gosh, you got her to talk. That's so great. And River's like, nah, I can just, like, tell this somehow. This triggers something in Nurse. This fulfills some kind of prophecy that she starts reciting. And she's like, you're a witch. Everyone from the town, get in here. And Simon's like, no, no, she's just a traumatized girl. She's not a witch. We get another flashback to Simon having just gotten arrested. His dad is there bailing him out. He went to talk to someone about trying to figure out what's going on with River. Maybe he went to her school. I don't remember exactly. But the dad has bailed him out, but he's not happy about this. And he's like, you can't keep doing this. If this happens again, I'm not going to come for you. Actually, I think in the previous scene, River said something maybe about, like, maybe their parents would come rescue them.
It seemed like she was maybe not in a moment of clarity at that time, though.
Yeah, yeah.
And she was like, the dad will come. And then we have this scene where the dad's, like, upset with his son because he just bailed him out. His son had been in a blackout zone where you're not supposed to go, talking to somebody about getting River back. And his dad's all like, River's fine. You embarrass me by doing this. The fact that I, like, came here goes on my permanent record. And, like, you're throwing your future away for, like, nonsense. And, like, I had to leave a fancy dinner. I thought that was all pretty – the lines here were pretty good.
Oh, yeah, because Simon has another one of those zingers here. He's like, sorry that me, like, saving my sister. I would have done it at a different time if I knew it affected a meal you were planning on having or something.
He says
like
something
that.
Like, I never would have tried to save our sister if I knew it would have ruined a dinner.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, dude. Get into your dad. His dad's wearing a dumbass tie, a dumbass future tie.
I know. It looked like a priest collar, but like with a normal tie fully over it, but like weird colors.
Pick a time period. You're reading old newspapers, wearing future ties. I don't like you, Max Medina clone.
So back in present day, 2024, River and Simon are out in the town square. The nurses have alerted the whole town. They meet like the mayor. He's like, hey, I'm the mayor. River's like, I know, you killed the old mare. He's like, burn her. She knows too much.
Yeah, burn her. She's, well, he says she reads minds and makes lies. It was like, the first part of your sentence makes it feel like you definitely killed that guy.
Which also, this is a little like 30 coins. There's a 30 coins.
Yeah, totally.
With a character being like, I know your past.
This guy is like, I'm the tallest person here, so I'm in charge. Burn this girl.
He was very tall.
He's very tall. So they're going to burn her right away. You'd think that the town might have some reflection and be like, hey, maybe a witch showed up because, like, we kidnapped them. So we should just let them go. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Like, oh, a witch is among us. Oh, I wonder why. Well, maybe because you kidnap people. Like, the Bible. Actually, the Bible does say you can kidnap people, so never mind.
Space Bible. Is this the same Bible? Is it the same religion? We don't know. Is this
Christianity? I mean, I think it's a warped one of ours, but I was talking about the actual Bible.
Because, like, her prophecy that she started saying was not a Bible passage I know.
I think it is.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I skipped the witch chapter.
Yeah, it's Exodus 22:18. Thou shalt not suffer a witch to live.
I didn't know the Bible had witches. I've read Exodus. Well, they're still trying to find meaning in Exodus, however long in the future this is. Back on the ship, Malcolm's kind of like, hey, Book, what's up with how they wanted to help you so bad? He's like, yes, I have a secret, but it's not for this episode.
It's definitely going to come out later, in later episodes.
But they're a little stressed out because Badger wants his cow money. So they're like, okay, let's go save Simon.
This is a bit of a misdirect because they're like, all right, we got to go. And Jane, by the way, who has stolen all of the money and important goods from Simon's personal effects, like he's gone through his stuff and taken his money and stuff. He's all like, this is going to be so much easier now to do, like, deals without these two fugitives.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're led to believe that they're just going to go do the deal.
Yes.
Cut back to the town where they're about to burn River. And Simon's like, you're going to have to burn me too. And the town's like, that's cool. Doctors are pretty easy to kidnap around here, I guess.
we can tell when doctors are arriving and we just grab them. Does someone point out, like, maybe we shouldn't kill the doctor?
No, the guy's all like, that's not going to stop us. Like, okay, you went on your way to kidnap this guy.
To be fair, he probably won't continue to help them after they burn his sister.
Right.
I bet he'll refuse to help. I think Hippocratic Oath goes out the window when your sister gets burnt. So the ship comes to rescue them. Jane opens the little bottom hatch and starts shooting at people. And then Malcolm and Zoe come down on the ground. They're like, hey, give us this girl back. Untie her. And they're like, no, she's a witch. And Malcolm's like, yeah, but she's our witch. So untie her. He's like, yeah, maybe. And we don't see them cut her down, but we see them back on the ship. Jane is, like, just throwing all the stuff he stole from them back into their room.
I thought that
quickly.
Was so funny. He's, like, hurriedly running in there, just chucking it, and then nonchalantly walking out.
Yeah, he says, hey, doctor, I'm glad you're back now on the ship. Such a lie. And then we have a quick little scene where Simon is asking Malcolm why they came back. He's like, you're on my crew. He's like, yeah, but you don't like me, so why'd you come back? He's like, you're on my crew. Why are we still talking about this? Dinner's in 10 minutes. And then we see them all sitting around the table.
And he says, no need to dress up. A connection.
Wearing clothes in
dinner? The girls dressed up for their oysters.
That?
They didn't eat any oysters, but.
No. So they sit around the table and they eat their moldy food. I don't remember. There was some point where Simon said that when he was complaining about how life on the ship sucks, he said that some of their food was moldy.
Yeah, I imagine their food is actually pretty good. They just got paid and there's probably like a cow in there that they're eating.
Yeah, they probably saved a cow. An atrophied cow. It's not worth 30 coins.
Yeah. So, Stacey, do you think this is a good episode?
Yeah, I liked this one. I mean, I've liked all of them, but it was a good one, I think. We still don't know what's going on with River exactly. We get a few more clues. She seems to be able to read minds and feel when those close to her are hurt. I guess we get a little bit of information. I think the parents don't give a fuck that she's being tortured, and they probably knew that when they sent her there. But yeah, it was cute to give some history on how much he cares about his sister. Because, like, mostly when we see them, it's, like, her freaking out and him being like, it'll be okay. But we got to see that, like, he really cares for her, which I knew. But just to, like, actually see that through different parts of history. And then them having that, like, Barry sharing moment where she was like, I know you're my brother and what you're doing is very nice. I appreciate it. Sorry, I'm a witch sometimes. It was very nice. And it had some funny moments. Jane was pretty funny. I liked that we found out the book has a secret. I'm fine with not knowing what it is yet.
That's like kind of what I was talking about with Bunheads. And maybe you could argue that Bunheads is being subtle and the show's not. But like this is like an example of being like, hey, there's more here. We're going to get to this. Isn't that interesting? Aren't you intrigued?
I do feel like Bunheads is like, I really hope that there is something. Like there's a reason she doesn't want to teach. Like maybe she always told herself she wouldn't.
Right. Sure. But like maybe there's the show not. Didn't we've seen that Michelle is like sort of self-centered to an extent, at least. So like it could just be that she's self-centered. And like, yeah, I hope there's a good explanation. But the show didn't tease that there is.
Yeah, yeah. There wasn't like a moment in her eyes that is like, you'll find out why someday, Fanny.
Right. And you don't have to literally say those words. But like you said, like you can convey that there's more underneath the surface.
Yeah. Lorelai did that shit with her face all the time.
Yeah.
Did you like the episode?
I did like this episode. Which one was better? What do you think? Which episode do you think was better?
I think this was the best Bunhead so far. But it was also a really good Firefly. So I think I'll say Firefly. But it's harder for me to decide this week.
Yeah, it's so tough because in this episode of Firefly, it's a bit run-of-the-mill as far as like they got in danger. They came back and saved them. But I really liked that emotional scene between Simon and his sister. Like, that was all cool, and the flashbacks were really good. I don't want to give it to Firefly because I liked this Bunheads. This is made me laugh a lot this time watching it. Like, everything with Sal was, like, very, very funny. Like, yeah. I think I have to go Firefly again, even though I liked this Bunheads quite a bit.
Yeah. I think if Bunheads keeps doing this, I'm excited to watch it. I'm excited to have more episodes like this.
Yeah. Well, if you guys want to watch along next time, we'll be discussing Firefly Episode 6, Our Mr. Reynolds.
As well as Bunheads Episode 6, Movie Truck.
Movie Truck?
Yeah, I bet there's a movie truck. Who's Mrs. Reynolds? When I wrote this part up for us to read, I honestly thought Our Mrs. Reynolds was the Bunheads title. It sounds way more Bunheads.
It's funny, yeah.
But then I wrote Movie Truck, and I was like, that can't be Firefly.
In the meantime, we'd love to hear your thoughts on the episodes discussed in this podcast. Do you think they used real cow poop?
What type of tushy do you have?
How would you get rid of some nature in your bed?
Do you think what the rabbit skinners did was ethical? They just needed a doctor. Let us know. You can reach out by following us on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and TikTok at Gilmore Slayer, where we post interactive questions, comedy sketches, and more.
Or send us an email at brianandstacyreviews@gmail.com. That's Brian with a Y and Stacy with an EY.
For more bonus content, find us on Patreon at patreon.com/Brian and Stacy, where you can watch video recaps of Angel and Veronica Mars. We also post monthly podcast outtakes, share early extended episode previews, and host monthly live stream watch parties where you can chat with us live. And shout out to our new Patreon subscribers, Sonia Buggy, Christina, Josh, April Elizabeth, Lara Johann Stotter, Liz Black, and Nicole Stevens.
Thank you all so much. For more of our content, be sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel, also called Brian and Stacy.
If you want to support our content, you can do so by making a donation of your choosing via the link found at the bottom of our episode description or in our social media bios.
And if you like what you're hearing, please leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts and we'll give you a shout out in an upcoming podcast.
Do you want to eat these berries I just grabbed from outside?
As long as they're not poison.
That was funny, too. I forgot about that. She like made a joke that they were poisoned after they started eating them. Mm-hmm. He believed her for a second. She made a prank.
Yeah, maybe she is a witch.
I was was like, are we going to check these berries?
I figured she's a genius. She'd be able to tell what berries are edible.
Yeah, but he just like trusted that they were fine. But I guess he recognized them.
Yeah.
But yeah, I did gather some. I don't know if they're poisonous. So let's roulette let's these berries.
Hopefully they don't stain your dress.
Hopefully we'll be back next week, guys.
Bye.
Bye.